and if we want to be the church that God called us to be, if we want to be able to reveal Christ to the world around us, that we need to strive to create unity in the body. We need to remember that it's one body. So what does this mean for Crossway Church? Well, it means that we're part of the greater body of Christ. One of the things I love about being a part of a denomination is it reminds us that it's not just a church by ourselves, but that we have brothers and sister churches all throughout the United States and Canada. And it reminds us that we're part of it. This reminds us, too, that Crossway is not the only church in Battleground or Clark County. And so whenever possible, we need to strive to find ways that we can create unity with them. That's why once a week I spend time praying with the pastors of Battleground. And I got to tell you, it's been a privilege. The pastors in this town are great. And there's a lot of great churches in this town. And so when we speak of other churches, we need to be careful that we talk about that unity. That yes, there are things that we have different than them. But ultimately, there's one body, one church in Battleground that follows Christ as their Savior. And we need to affirm that. It also means that we need to strive for unity in our own church. You know, we all kind of come from a middle-class thing, neighborhood, but if you would look at our lives, and as a pastor, I get the privilege of knowing most of you pretty well, we actually come from a variety of different backgrounds. We come from different ethnic backgrounds. We grew up in different areas. Some of us are married. Some of us are single. Some of us are divorced. Some of us are remarried. Some of us have been Christians all our lives, and others of us are just starting to get back into the faith. Some of us know the Bible like this, and some of us have a hard time finding where the book of Psalms is. Some of us have an idea of what our preferred style of worship is, or we think that there's a certain way that we dress. Some of us think that we homeschool is the best way for us to send our kids to school. Others think it's Christian school or public school. Some of us, we do all three. But the reality is we have all these things that can divide us, that can make it being a church body difficult. And so what Paul says is we need to work to find that unity, and we need to make sure that we find that in there. Some of that means that as a church, we have to have these conversations about these are the things that really matter. These are the core truths to what they are. And we talked about some of them in previous weeks, but it's believing that Jesus is the only way to salvation, and that God came to reveal himself, that God's drawing us to faith, that he's growing our hearts, and that he called us to live out this faith as best we can. And there's those core truths that we need to hold tightly. But then there's other things like how we dress or how we worship, whether we raise our hands or we don't raise our hands, whether we clap or we don't, whether we prefer hymns or contemporary songs, that we need to say, recognize are really secondary matters, and that we can have unity even in the midst of different differences. So what does this mean for us individually? Well, it means that we must make church unity a personal priority. Means that we sometimes have to play that, look at that, and to look at our lives and say, what are the things that really matter? And what are the critical truths? And what's personal preference? And am I willing to acknowledge what's preference and what is hardcore? At Crossway, we want to teach the Bible, and we want to teach it. We do not want to cave to anything. We said that 2 weeks ago. When God calls something a sin, we want to call it a sin. But oftentimes as a church, we can get so caught up in the small things that we forget the big things. And what God has called us to do, if we want to show who Christ is, one of the ways that we need to do that is to create unity amongst ourselves. We need to work to form relationships with one another and to do that. It's actually one of the things that I'm most proud of. Church plants typically, as a whole, when they start up, they look like the pastor. They have people in the age group of the pastor, kids that have the same age group as the kids of the pastor, or they're younger. And from the very beginning, this church has always had a wide mix. We've had grandparents and single people. We've had every phase of life that you can imagine. And what's brought us together is our faith in Christ. And I love it that we have 80-year-olds who don't even know what an iPhone is, talking to 20-year-olds, who text like nobody's business. And it may make things difficult sometimes when you're forming those relationships at first, but I think it's critical because it shows that the one thing we have in common isn't our age, isn't the way we dress. It isn't our preferences. The thing that matters to us is Christ. And that's important. But I also appreciate that the Apostle Paul says that unity doesn't mean that we all have to be the same. We all know this instinctively, don't we, when it comes to music? I mean, the music that I love has a depth and layers to it. I may like an a cappella song where somebody sings vocals for a few lines, but the songs that I really love are the ones that have 4 or 5 or 6 part harmony. Even the song that I listen to on the radio, I will get bored if the musicians just all play the same thing. There's no layers, no drum, just one guitar. That's 3 guitars doing the same thing. But when you have bands with different guitars playing different things and there's layers to it, there's beauty there. A symphony is so great because there literally is hundreds of instruments all coming together, playing their own unique part and their own unique place and coming together to make this beautiful sound. Sometimes we can forget that when it comes to the church. And I love it that the Apostle Paul makes it clear that the goal is that unity is not sameness, but we can have diversity amongst it. He says, now the body is made up of one, not made up of one part, but of many. If we are all one part, where would the body be? As there are many parts, but one body. And so what this means is that we can encourage and that we should celebrate our differences. Like I said, it's one of the things that I'm most proud of as a church is the fact that we actually have all these variety of different backgrounds. But yet we call Crossway Church home because we want to invest here. We want to be the church of God together and that our faith in Christ can bring us together. But this also means that we can have some diversity. Now, some of you breathe a sigh of relief. You don't have to be Iowa Hawkeye fans or Chicago Bear fans. You can like the Ducks or the Cougars. But it means that you can dress differently and talk differently. It means that you can have a different passion as well. Some of us, we have a passion to study the Bible and that's what we want to do and that's great. Others have a passion for serving and for helping and for doing those things. And what Paul tells us is that the body isn't just this one vision of what it is, but it's a diversity of gifts and a diversity of people coming together. And when that happens, when the church shows this diversity and unity, that we can see Christ at work even more. This is the powerful thing that can happen. This is how we create the song of salvation to the world around us to show that yes, we have unity, even though we have differences in diversity. That we are one body that's made up of many parts. So for Crossway Church, this means that we have to recognize that we have a unique role to play in the larger body of Christ. We don't have to be like the church down the street. We got to be who God's called us to be. That's who we need to be. With our unique gifts, our unique talents in that. We also need to honor the roles of church equally. You know, every Sunday, this doesn't just happen. A service on Sunday doesn't just happen. We don't just get up here and do a service. There are people who are vacuuming the carpets in the middle of the week and cleaning toilets. There's people who are doing small groups and leading different ministries. There's people who are getting communion ready or the drinks that we do ready. There's people who are praying, who are practicing. And all together, collectively, that's what the church is. It's not just somebody up here preaching or a band singing or even a small group on Sunday. That the church is all of these things. And we need to honor all those different roles. We need to acknowledge that every single one of them is valuable. The person who wants to serve and to reach out and the person who wants to study their Bible, all of them have an important role to play in our church. For us individually, it means that we got to fight two tendencies. Sometimes when we recognize our diversity, we can play this game. And the first game that we play is that we need to stop diminishing our value to the church. We can say, well, I can't sing, or I can't lead, or I can't do a small group, so what do I have to offer? And what this passage challenges us is the foot doesn't have to be the head, but we need the foot, the nose, and everything to really be the church that God's called us to be. And so we need to make sure that we don't play this game where we diminish our value to the church just because it isn't something that's seen. But rather, we need to recognize that cleaning toilets, singing songs, praying, folding bulletins, serving the world outside, bringing candy, serving hot chocolate, all those things are just as vitally important. And we need to acknowledge that this is an important role for us to play. But we also have to fight against the pride in elevating our own gifts over others. See, oftentimes when we recognize that there's diversity, sometimes we can play this game with ourselves where we say, I think everybody needs to be like me. And we can let that pride kind of seep into our hearts and we can judge. We can think that, hey, maybe my way of doing things or my gift is more important than all the others. And what Paul challenges us to do in this passage is to recognize that we all have a role. That the nose, the eye, the ear, the foot, all of them are equally as important. And so we need to make sure that we don't fight against things and that we don't claim to be superior. We need to keep a spirit of humility. Which leads us to our third characteristic of a church that really is able to sing God's grace. And that is mutual dependence on others. The reality is, if you've ever played in a band, you realize that the more beautiful and more complex a piece is, a band or symphony only works when everybody's playing their part. I play trombone. And if I wasn't paying attention, which happened a lot in band class, and I didn't come in, there's a big chunk missing. If we're not all on the same page and not on the same vision, and if we don't play our unique role, then we're missing out. If you've ever acted, you know that's true. You're only as good with your lines as the person with you. If they don't know their lines, you're going to get messed up. If you play sports, you know that it works the same way. You need someone to be in their spot for you to throw the ball to or to cover on the volleyball court so you can get there and make sure that all the ground is covered. See, God's created us as communal beings that are in need of one another. And He challenges us to be honest about that. To make sure that we don't say, I don't need you. That He says, the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. But rather what He says is, all the parts of the body need one another. We need each other. And so we need to make sure that we have that kind of mindset. So for Crossway Church, this means that we need to create the space for people to use their gifts. And if you are starting to come into Crossway or if you've been here for a while, I want you to know that our goal is to find a place for you to get involved and for you to serve. And if you have gifts and you have passions, we'd love to hear them. If you've been in Crossway Church for a long time, we want you to take that initiative and to take on some tasks. You may not be the best, you may fail, but that's okay. That's how we learn, that's how we grow. And that's the kind of church that we want to be. Where it's not just 20% of the people doing everything, but that we have the whole church being at it, doing this thing together. What it means for us individually is that we need to serve others in our church. There's nothing worse than having a need and not having it filled. And so this passage should challenge us to say, where am I serving? How am I getting plugged in? Whether it's at Crossway or any church, it doesn't matter. But this passage should challenge us to get plugged into a good church somewhere and to get invested in it, to invest our time and our resources and our gifts for the sake of it and for the sake of ourselves. But it also requires us to be vulnerable. In our society today, and I fight this tendency, maybe I'm the only one, but sometimes I feel like I got to act like I don't need help. But this challenges us to remind ourselves, if you're a nose, you're really good at smelling stuff, but you might not be good at actually getting somewhere, right? If you're a foot, you're really good at moving and doing things, but you may not be that great at organizing. And the reality is that we need to admit those frailties. We need to admit that we actually do need help. That sometimes we're facing situations that are way over our head and we need it. And this passage should challenge us to acknowledge our vulnerability. The way that we do it is that we always remember our dependence on Christ. Paul doesn't necessarily say it in this section. He uses it elsewhere where he talks about the body of Christ. But he says that Christ is our head. He is the reason that we're part of the body. He is the one who came, as we looked at it 2 weeks ago, who is the great shepherd who laid down his life for a sheep. He came to save us. That's the reason why he came to earth, to die on a cross, because we're sinners. And we need to remember that. We need to remember that we're not just vulnerable physically or emotionally, but we're in constant need of his grace. And the more that we can be in touch with that, the more that we don't have to put on a facade that we have life all together. Because we realize that we're in need of his help on the biggest problem we ever have. And so it's not so hard for us to admit that we need help from others. And when we've been touched by his grace, when we've seen how he was proactive in serving us and helping others, we're not afraid to reach out and to touch and to serve others because of the service that he's given us. This can help us find the unity to focus on the things that really matter, that Christ is who he said he is, that we need to grow in our faith and our understanding of him. But it can also help us celebrate our diversity, because we remember that Christ is the one that has knit this church together. He's the one that's grown it. He's the one that's molding it. And that each and every single one of us has a part. One of the things that's the best for me to think about as a pastor is, whenever there's an issue that's been raised, to think about that God's already put the parts of the body there to do the task, where he's going to bring people in. And I can't tell you how many times as a pastor I've seen this, where we've had a need and someone arrives with just that right skill set because Christ has knit the body together. And as a pastor, I have to always be reminded that Christ is the one who's in control and he's got a plan. And we need to remember that in our own lives as well. Let's pray. Dear gracious God, we thank you for the opportunity that we have to worship you. Lord, I pray that you just remind us that we are a body of Christ. I pray that you show us how we can serve you and how we can be the body together. And we ask this all in your name. Amen.